Part of the service, and maybe even the most important part of this week, not because I stand to speak, but because we open up your word and we give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to work through us and in us. And Lord, I ask that you'd help me, that the Spirit of God would come upon me, and that you would help me to be able to say the things you would have me to say, Lord, to be able to minister to these people, Lord. There's people here with hurting with different things, Lord, and going through different struggles and in different areas of their maturity in their Christian life. I pray you'd use your word to help each and every one of them. We love you, Father, in your precious name I pray. Amen. All right, well, we're there in Ephesians chapter number 3, and I'd like you to just take your attention to verse number 16. The Bible says in verse 16 that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit. Now I want you to make note of the last part of verse number 16. It says, in the inner man. The Bible teaches us this concept of the inner man. I think it's interesting. Keep your finger there in Ephesians 3, maybe you put your bulletin there or something, because we're going to be coming back to it throughout the sermon. But if you go back to the book of 2 Corinthians, right before the book of Ephesians, you've got the book of Galatians, and right before the book of Galatians, you've got the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5, and look at verse number 17. It's very interesting to me how the Holy Spirit works, because I don't make the bulletins. My wife makes the bulletins. She picks the pictures and she picks the verses. And she picked a verse, and I told her, oh, it's interesting that you picked that verse, because that's a verse I'm going to be preaching on this morning. And I thought that was amazing. She said, should I change it? And I said, no, the Holy Spirit did that. That's good. But in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, look at verse number 17. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, notice what it says, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The Bible teaches us when you got saved, and by the way, salvation is not when you started going to church. Salvation is not when you decided to get religious or you decided to get spiritual. Salvation is when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. When you realized that you were a sinner on your way to hell, that you needed a Savior and you asked Him to save you. And the Bible tells us the moment you got saved, it uses this terminology in John, it says you got born again. And what got born again was a new man. We read there in Ephesians 3:16. The inner man. The Bible tells us there in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, it says, if any man be in Christ. When you got in Christ, look what it says. He is a new creature. The Bible says when you got saved, you became a new creature. A new person was born. A new individual. It's you, but here's what you understand. It's a spiritual you. It's the inner man. I love this verse, because notice what he says. He says, you became a new creature. And he says, because you became a new creature, he says, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Notice he doesn't say all things are become better or all things are something going to work on. He says, when you got saved, a new man began to live inside of you. And he says, those old things, they're gone away. Don't worry about that. He says, you became a new creature. You're there I asked you to stay in Ephesians, right? Go to Ephesians chapter number 2. Look at verse 15. Ephesians chapter number 2. Look at verse 15. Ephesians 2:15. You're going to have to keep up with me this morning, because we're looking at a lot of scriptures. I know you should be used to that by now. But Ephesians 2:15. Notice what it says. The Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain. Now that word twain there means of two. And if you study the passage there in Ephesians chapter 2, and even the passage we read in Ephesians chapter 3, he's dealing with the subject about the Jews versus the Gentiles. And I don't have time. I preached entire sermons on that before. We're not talking about that today. But he says, he made of twain, of the Jews and of the Gentiles. Notice what he says. It says, he made of twain. Good night. What verse did I ask you to look at? I already lost it. Ephesians 2:15. It says, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, for He make in Himself of twain, that's of the Jews and Gentiles, one, notice what He says, new man, so making peace. Bible says when you got saved, God made a new man. See, God made peace, but He didn't make peace with your flesh and with your sin. He made peace with a new man that came to live in you. That's why it says there, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. There's a new man living inside of you, a new person living inside of you when you got saved. Go with me to 1 John chapter number 3, towards the end of your new Testament there. Right before you get to the book of Revelation is the book of Jude, one chapter. And right before the book of Jude, you've got the books of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Very small books of the Bible. Go to 1st John chapter number 3. Look at verse number 9. 1st John chapter number 3 in verse 9. Sometimes we study or read things in the Bible, and if you take a verse out of context, you can make all sorts of religions out of it and different doctrines out of it. And in 1 John chapter number 3, in verse 9, the Bible says, "Whosoever," notice this, "is born of God doth not commit sin." Now, some people take this verse to say, when you got saved, you should never sin again. They call it, you know, they talk about being perfect after salvation. You'll never sin again. And if you do sin, it's because you never got saved. That's a lie. Okay, none of us will ever get to the place where we don't sin in this flesh. You understand that? And any preacher that stands up and says, "I've never sinned since I've been saved," he's lying to you right then. He's sinning right then. Because no, all of us will sin, but the Bible does say, "Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God." And here's what you're going to say. You say, "Well, what's that verse talking about, Pastor?" Here's what you can understand. The Bible says when you got saved, a new man was born, and that new man does not sin. You understand that? There's a new creature, a spiritual creature, a man who's a spiritual man living inside of you. And that man, that new man, does not sin. The Bible says he doesn't sin. It says, "Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin." You say, "What are you talking about?" Okay, it all makes sense here in a second. Go to Romans chapter number 7. This is all by way of introduction, by the way. Romans chapter number 7. I know, welcome to Verity Baptist Church. We look at more verses in the introduction of the sermon than most churches look at all week. But Romans chapter number 7, that's okay. The Bible's not going to hurt you. Romans chapter number 7, look at verse number 14. This is the Apostle Paul. Aside from the Lord Jesus Christ and John the Baptist, probably the greatest man who ever lived, and the Apostle Paul, used of God in a mighty way, the reason if you're a Gentile today, which I believe most or all of us are, and you're saved this morning, it's because of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul said, in verse 14 of Romans chapter number 7, he says, "For we know that the law is spiritual." Notice what he says, "But I am carnal." That word carnal there means flesh. If you know what the Spanish word for meat is or flesh, it's carne. And that word carnal, he says, "We know that the law is spiritual," talking about the Word of God. He says, "The Word of God is spiritual, but I am fleshly. I am carnal, sold under sin." Look at verse 15. For this is, notice what the Apostle Paul says. You ever thought this about yourself? "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." Have you ever, you know, he's saying, look, the things I preach about, that's what I end up doing. And the things that I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing. The things I do want to do, I don't do. He says, "For that which I do, I allow not." He says, I don't allow people to do certain things, and then I go ahead and do them. He says, "For what I would, that do I not." He says, "The things I want to do, I don't do. But what I hate, that do I." He says, "If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good." You say, "What? Paul, are you confused? Look at verse 17. He says, "Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth," notice what he says, "in me." Here's what you understand. When you got saved, the Bible says that there are two people inside of you. There is the old man, the flesh man, the carnal man, this body, this flesh. But also inside of you, there's a spiritual man. Have you ever had an argument in yourself where you want to do something spiritual, but it seems like your flesh just won't allow you to? You know what I'm talking about? Get up, alarm clock goes off on Sunday morning, and you say, "Man, I want to go to church, but I don't want to get out of bed." You know what I'm talking about? That, more than anything, that's proof of your salvation. Because unsaved people don't have a spiritual man. Unsaved people, all they are is the flesh. Unsaved people come to church like this and they don't want to hear it. They don't want to. There's nothing in them that likes the Bible, that likes God's Word, that likes preaching. But saved people, there's a spiritual man inside of you that yearns for those spiritual things. But at the same time, there's the flesh that does not want it. He says, look at verse 18. "For I know that in me," that is, in my flesh, "dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." He says, look, here's what you guys said. The new man doth not sin. But he says about the old man, the flesh, he says, "dwelleth in me no good thing." So here's the funny thing. The flesh can do nothing.
good and only bad, but the spiritual man can do nothing bad and only good. Amen. And both of those are housed inside of you. There's two people inside of you. Plus Jesus Christ, if you're saved. Plus the Holy Spirit. That's why if your wife says, you're starting to gain weight, you say, well, there's four of me. There's the old man, the new man, the Holy Spirit, good night. You know? Man, ever since I got saved, I started gaining weight. There's this old man, this carnal man, inside of you. Look at verse 23. Well, actually, let's begin reading. Let's keep reading verse 19. Notice what he says. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it. No, he says, it's not me doing it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Here's what he's saying. The Lord Jesus Christ said this about us. He says, the spirit truly is willing, but the flesh is weak. Look at verse 22. For I delight in the law of God. After the, notice this terminology, inward man. He says there's an inward man, and that inward man delights in the law of God. He likes the preaching. He likes reading the Bible. He likes praying. He likes spiritual things. But then there's this carnal man, this fleshly man. Look at verse 23. But I see another law in my members. Notice this word, warring against the law of my mind, and bringeth me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. The word members there is talking about your body parts. He says, inside of me there's a war. There's a battle going on between the new man and the old man. Look at verse 24. One of the greatest preachers who ever lived, he said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Notice, he keeps making reference. Did you notice in verse 25? And did you notice in verse 23? He says, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my... Notice this word, mind. You see that? He said, the flesh is warring against the law of my mind. Look at verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. See, the Christian life is a constant battle between the old man and the new man. The Christian life is a constant battle between the flesh and the spirit. Between the man of the spirit, the new creature inside of you, that cannot sin, that only wants to do right, versus the flesh that all he wants to do is sin. Say, when will we stop sinning? When you get to heaven and you no longer have this flesh? When this corruptible puts on incorruption and this mortal puts on immortality, when you get your new glorified body and this flesh is finally done away with, then we'll have a perfect spirit and a perfect body and God will do away with sin. Yeah. But until then, you and I have a flesh and a spirit battling and fighting in us. So the question then becomes this: how can we help the inner man win the spiritual battle? You say, Pastor, I'd like to do spiritual things. I'd like to read my Bible. I'd like to pray. I'd like to work on my marriage. I'd like to watch my mouth. I'd like to be in church. I'd like to be spiritual, but it seems like I just can't get my flesh to do those things that God wants me to do. Then you've got to ask this question. How do we give the inner man the upper hand? How do we help? Because there's a battle, there's a war every day between your mind, the spiritual side, and your flesh, the sinful part. How do you help that inner man? I want to speak to you for a few moments this morning on how to help the inner man. If you're there, if you go back to Ephesians chapter number 3, that was all introduction, by the way. Ephesians chapter number 3. Don't you just love a church that uses a lot of Bible? Yeah. Ephesians chapter number 3, look at verse number 16. Ephesians 3:16, when we started this morning, it says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. Notice what it says. To be strengthened with might by His Spirit. Notice what it says. In the inner man. The Bible says that you can help strengthen the inner man. The Bible says that you can help the inner man become stronger so that he can win that battle. You say, how do I strengthen the inner man? Well, you strengthen the inner man, number one, by renewing your mind. Did you notice I pointed out to you there in Romans how he keeps saying my mind battles against my flesh? The Bible often uses this terminology. Soul, heart, mind, they all mean the same thing. That's who you are. You understand what I'm saying? This body is not who I am. This body is just the house that God has given me on this earth to house who I really am, which is my soul, which is my heart, which is my mind. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You know, we often say, oh, in my heart I feel like I should do this. You're not talking about the muscle in your chest that's pumping blood. You're talking about who you are. That's your soul. That's who you are. This body is not who I am. This body is just housing the person I really am, which is my soul, which is my mind. The real me is much taller. The real me is much stronger. You say the real me is much thinner and younger and has a lot of money. But, you know, the war is between your mind and your flesh. And you've got to strengthen one. The Bible says you can strengthen one. You say, how do I strengthen the inner man? Number one, you're there in Ephesians chapter 3, right? Go to chapter 4, look at verse number 23. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse number 23. The Bible says, and be, notice what it says, renewed in the spirit of your, what's the next word? Mind. The Bible says to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, look at verse 24, and that he put on the new man. Notice, same terminologies for the same guy. Inner man, inward man, new man. He says, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Notice, he says the new man was created, remember? All things are become new, a new creature. He says, and he put on the new man, which after God, he was created in the same manner, you know, in the image of God, just like we were in the Garden of Eden, by the way. He says, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. He says, you put on that new man. He said, how do I put on that new man? By renewing the spirit of your mind. Let me tell you something. Our society, have you ever talked to somebody? I often talk to people, you know, I'm out soul winning and talking to people. And I often talk to unsaved people and even worldly Christians. And I think to myself, everything that person says is wrong. It's just anti-Bible. It's just anti what the Bible says. And if you talk to our society today, listen to me. You talk to our society today and they have the wrong mindset about everything. You talk to unsaved people about marriage. They're not going to tell you, you know, love your wife, love your husband, submit to your husband. They're not going to tell you, you know, humble yourself. They're not going to tell you, sacrifice yourself. They're not going to tell you, you know, when your husband is being a jerk to you and he's in the flesh, you just stay in the spirit and you just love him anyway and forgive him. No, you talk to the world, you're going to say, leave that jerk. Leave that punk. You know, you can do better than that. It's like maybe 20 years ago. Nobody forced you to marry him. We're not in Alabama where, you know, there's some guy with a shotgun saying, you're going to marry my daughter. But you talk to people, you talk to people today about raising children. The world has no clue about raising children. What do they tell you? Put them in a corner. Put them on timeout. You know, the Bible is very clear about how you ought to discipline and disciple children. You talk to people about work ethic today. You talk to people about morals. You talk to people about dating. And you know, what's the mindset today with dating? Oh, just move in. Just move in before you're married. Have relationships before you're married. You know, that's no problem. That's fine today. How's that worked out for you? You know, there was a day in this country when people were ashamed to do stuff like that. And what I'm trying to say is this. Our society today has the wrong mindset when it comes to everything. Finances, raising children, marriage, being a good person, morals. I mean, they're just completely off the deep end. Say, why is that? Well, that's normal. You don't have to turn there. But in Isaiah 55:8, the Bible says, God said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. It's very normal that carnal, fleshly people think differently than God, Almighty God, thinks. That's why this Bible is so anti our society today. But see, here's what you got to understand. If you're going to walk in the Spirit, if you're going to strengthen the new man, you're going to have to learn how to renew your mind. That word renew there means to make new. It means to start over. See, in your life, you've been programmed and I've been programmed to believe certain things and think certain things and act certain ways. And when you're going to walk and see that the new man, he's new. He's a new creature. He didn't grow up with you. He didn't go to the public school you you went to. He didn't grow up in the society you went to. He didn't learn the things you did. He didn't drink alcohol with you and then drugs with you and then all those things with you. He's a new man and he needs a new mind.
You've got to renew your mind. You've got to understand that the way you're going to strengthen the inner man is by renewing your mind.
You say, what are you talking about? Let me get very practical and specific. Go with me to Romans chapter number 12.
You're there in Ephesians, go back past Galatians, past 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and go to Romans chapter number 12.
Romans chapter number 12. Look at verse number 1. Romans chapter number 12, look at verse number 1. Romans chapter number 12 and verse 1. Romans 12, 1, the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Look at verse number 2. And be not conformed to this world. The Bible says, don't be conformed to this world. He's saying, don't take the shape of this world. Don't be like this world. Notice what he says. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. You notice? He says, don't be conformed. He said, be transformed. How do you get transformed? By the renewing of your mind. You see that? That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Bible says you ought to be renewed. You know, it's funny because so, you know, I'm studying and writing this sermon. I've had so many people this week tell me things similar to what I, you know, people will say things like this. You know, a church like this will say, you're in a cult. You're brainwashed. And the thing is, I don't disagree. You need your brain washed. I need my brain washed. You say, what are you? Some sort of, look, I'm not talking about a cult. You know, after the service, we're serving some Kool-Aid in the foyer. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not talking about a cult, but let me tell you something. Your mind is corrupt. Your mind does not understand how you ought to live and how you ought to, you know, serve God in your mind. The Bible is so far away from what we thought. We need God's Word to renew and to wash our mind. Because right now, we're conformed to this world. And I got to ask you a question. How's that working out for you? You know, people often will say things to me and mock me, and I'm not saying this to point anybody out. Honestly, and you know, I don't know if I should be saying this, but in the last week, I've had so many people attack me personally for the things I believe. It's not even funny. I'm not pointing out any one individual because it's just been an attack, just one after the other after the other. And this is what I think to myself: people mock what we believe. They mock what we preach. They mock, you know, they'll mock me. They'll say, "Ah, you're an idiot. You're dumb. You're young." You know, this is what I think to myself. You know what? I am young, and I'm not ashamed of that. Paul said to Timothy, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believer in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and hope." And you know what? But this is what I often want to say to people: I'm a young person, but I'm married to one wife. I'm raising children with my wife. I don't have, you know, five different kids from five different women. I've got enough financial stability to be able to serve God with freedom. I have a family that loves me, kind of. I have a family that I love, you know. I've got people, you know, I'm able to be used to God. And I think, I look at this other generation on drugs, on alcohol, on can't hold down a job, don't have, you know, don't know it, a lot of their kids, you know, second, third, fourth, fifth wife. And I think to myself, you're trying to tell me that's normal? You're trying to get me to be embarrassed by what I do, what I believe. Your life is so messed up. You say, why is that? Because your mind hasn't been renewed. And by the way, it's not me. It's that when I was just a little kid, I had a mom and I had a dad who took the word of God and said, here, clean that mind in here. Wash that mind in here. Forget about what the world teaches. Learn the word of God.
Amen. This world and this society need a renewing of their mind.
You need to wash your brain. You're brainwashed. Praise God that I'm brainwashed. I don't want to be like you. I don't want my life destroyed like, hey, I don't want my kids to grow up like you did. I want them to grow up clean. I want them to grow up walking in the new man.
Amen.
Renew your mind. Say, so how do I renew my mind? Go with me to Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. But today the world will try to intimidate you. Today the world will try to mock you. Today the world will try to tell you, you're weird, you're different, you're peculiar. Yeah, that's weird. You're weird. With your messed up life. If you had enough sense to realize you need God to wash your mind. Renew your mind. Colossians chapter number 3, look at verse number 10. Look what it says. Colossians 3:10, look what it says. I love how consistent the Bible is. Look what it says. And have put on the new man. That's what we're talking about, right?
which is, what's the next word? Renewed. Look what it says, in knowledge after the image of Him that was created, that created Him. The Bible says the way you're going to renew your mind, you say, well, how do I renew my mind? You renew your mind, number one, through knowledge. Notice what it says. Look at the verse. And have put on the new man. He says, here's how you're going to put on the new man, which is renewed. Notice what he says. In knowledge. In knowledge of what? After the image of Him that created him. He said, who created you? God. Who created you? The Lord Jesus Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, right? So he says, when you get knowledge of Christ, you can renew your mind. You say, how do I renew my mind, Pastor? Read your Bible. That's how you renew your mind. Every day you get up and you read your Bible and you pray and you learn about God, you renew your mind. You say, how do I renew my mind? Well, I don't know. Maybe coming to church and hearing the Bible preached 3 times a week, that might help renew your mind. See, every time you skip church and every time you put something before God and you put, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And when you say, well, I'm not going to go to church tonight because I'm going to do this, because I'm going to go to work, or because I'm going to go fishing, or whatever it is, and you put that before God, what you're doing is you're saying, I don't need the knowledge of God, I don't need the power of God, I don't need the Word of God, I don't need to understand God, and you're going to continue in the same old rut that you've always had. Why? Because you need the Word of God to renew your mind. You need the knowledge of God to renew your mind. You need the Word. The Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto unto thy Word. By the way, that's why at Verity Baptist Church, we don't read 3 verses and preach a 20-minute sermonette. That's why at Verity Baptist Church, we take the Bible and we study the Bible and we go to verse after verse after verse after verse and preach God's Word. Because you don't need to know what I have to say. You need to know what the Bible has to say. Amen. You need knowledge to help you what? Renew your mind.
Amen.
This world is crazy, my friend. This world is insane, my friend. This world looks at things that are holy and they call it unholy, and they look at things that are unholy and they call it holy. Let me tell you something. This world is the one that's crazy. Don't let them tell you you're crazy. You tell them you're crazy. I'd rather serve God. I'd rather be in a cult. I'd rather be brainwashed and know that I have a new mind.
Amen.
You need a new mind. Bible reading. Church attendance. You get a new mind. Look at, I want you to see it again. Colossians 3:10. I have put on the new mind, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created Him. Notice that God emphasizes this word, knowledge. The Bible says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know what today is emphasized by churches? Emotion. Why do you go to so-and-so church? I just love the way the worship is. I just get there and it makes me feel so good. My God is an awesome God. Look, let me tell you something. Emotion's not going to help you grow. I'm all for emotion. I love emotion. Praise the Lord. I think I'm showing a lot of emotion right now. But what's going to change your life and transform your life is not emotion. It's the knowledge of the Word of God. Because you can get emotion at a rock concert, my friend. You can get emotion at a bar, my friend. You can get emotion on a soap opera, my friend. But you can't get the Word of God there.
Amen.
The knowledge of the Word of God. Not only that, you say, how do I renew my mind? Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. If you're not going to... One thing you'll learn around here is at least how to go through your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Look at verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, the Bible says, for which cause, notice what he says, we faint not. But though our outward man perish. He says, look, I don't faint. He says, sometimes my flesh faints. You ever feel like you just say, man, I'm just so tired. I'm just so tired of fighting. I'm so tired of battling. I just feel like I'm... He says, but though our outward man perish, look what he says, yet the inward man is renewed. Notice, day by day. See, renewing your mind is a choice you must make every day. Every day you must wake up and make the choice that I will read my Bible this morning. I will pray this morning. I will walk in the Spirit this morning. I will go to church. I will be a soul winner. I will control myself. I will put on the new man. That's a choice you make every day. And just because you made that choice successfully yesterday, and the day before that, and the day before that, and a decade before that, if you don't make that choice today, you will fail, you will fall into sin. It's a choice you make every day. He says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed. He said, you've got to renew the inward man day by day.
It's a choice you make. You've got to strengthen the inner man. But not only that, go back to Ephesians chapter number 4. Should be able to find it. Ephesians chapter number 4.
How do we give the inner man the upper hand there? Help him win that battle every day. Number one, you strengthen the inner man. The inner man is a spiritual being, and he's strengthened through spiritual things. Every time you come to church, you're strengthening that inner man. Every time you read your Bible, you're strengthening that inner man. Every time you listen to preaching, you're strengthening that inner man. Every time you get on your knees and you pray, you're strengthening that inner man. Every time you have a conversation with somebody, you talk to a brother in Christ, you go out and have maybe a cup of coffee with somebody, and you talk about spiritual things, and you encourage them, and they encourage you. Hey, you're strengthening that spiritual man, that inner man.
But not only that, not only do you need to strengthen the inner man, but number two, you need to weaken the old man. You're there in Ephesians chapter 4? Look at verse number 22.
He says that ye put, notice this, off. He says like taking off a coat. He says that ye put off concerning the former conversation. That word conversation there means your former lifestyle. He says you put off concerning the former conversation. Notice what he says, the old man. Why do you want to put off the old man? Well, because which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. See, your old ways weren't working, my friend. Your old life wasn't working. He says, put off that old man and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You've got to put off the old man. You're there in Ephesians. Go into Colossians. Go past the book of Philippians into the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter number 3, look at verse number 5. Colossians chapter number 3, look at verse number 5. Colossians chapter number 3 and verse 5. Notice what he says. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. Notice what the Bible says. It says, mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth. That word members there is talking about body parts. That's what the word means. Body members. Mortify, you know what that word means? You ever heard of a morticianer? The word mortify means to put to death. Notice what he says. Mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth. And then he gives us some examples. Of things you can mortify. Things you can put to death. He says, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. See, you number one, strengthen the spiritual man by doing spiritual things, but then you weaken the old man, and you eventually want to kill the old man by not doing fleshly, carnal, sinful things.
Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. See, here's what you gotta understand. Best way I've ever heard it explained to me was this. Inside of you there are two men. There's a spiritual man and there's a fleshly man. And those men get up every morning and they fight for your body, for your will, for what you're gonna do. And the man that's more likely to win that fight is the man that's more fit.
See, if we can learn to feed the old man spiritually and malnourish the flesh. See, you'll never get rid of the flesh. But if you can make the flesh so weak that when temptation comes, the spiritual man is easily able to overcome him. See, the reason you keep falling into temptation, my friend, the reason it seems like you just keep messing up. I keep doing the same thing over and over. I keep just falling into it. It's because your flesh is too strong and your spirit is too weak. See, I don't understand how you expect to sit down in front of the stupid television 3 hours a night, 7 times a week, and let the flesh be fed with the programming of this world. with the sin of this world, with the alcohol that's advertised on this world, with the, you know, immodestly dressed women in this world, with all the filth of this world, you take that in. You take that in when you're talking to your friends and family members. You take that in when you're at the bar. You take in all this flesh and all this filth. And every time you do that, you're just making your flesh stronger and stronger and stronger. And your spiritual man, he's just a weakling. They get up in the morning to fight, and it's not even a fight. But if you would learn to mortify your old man, if you would learn to weaken your old man, if you learn to put off those deeds of the flesh, look at 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 31. Here's what you got to understand, though. Remember how you have to renew your mind day by day? Look at verse 31. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. He says, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus. Look what he says. Our Lord, this is what the Apostle Paul said. He said, I die daily. You see that? See, every day you wake up and you decide, I'm going to renew my mind. Every day you wake up and you decide, I'm going to feed the spiritual man. Every day you wake up and you decide, I'm going to strengthen the inner man, the inward man. But at the same time, every day, you must wake up and decide, I'm going to kill the old man. I'm going to bring death to the old man. I'm going to starve him to death. I'm going to strangle that old man. You've got to make that decision. Because here's the thing. You're sitting here today and thinking, this guy is insane. This guy is crazy. You're in a cult. Like, we haven't heard that before. And you know why? Because you're in the flesh. The spiritual man loves this. The flesh man hates it. The flesh man doesn't want to hear the word of God. But if you would learn to kill the flesh, you'd become more spiritual. He says, I die daily. Go to Romans chapter number 4. Romans chapter number 4. Look at Romans chapter number 8. And by the way, you know what you say? Pastor, I don't like your... Have you noticed that I haven't given you really much of my opinion? You notice all I've been doing is reading verses to you and then yelling about it? You think, Pastor Jimenez, where did you learn to preach? I'd like to learn to preach. Let me give you a lesson here for your preaching guys. Here's my style of preaching. I read a verse, I yell about it. I read a verse, I yell about it. I read a verse, I yell about it. Because what you need is the Bible. What you need is the Word of God. Look at Romans chapter number 8. Look at verse number 4. Romans 8, look at verse 4. Look what it says. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh, look what it says. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity. That means enemy. That means you're at odds. He says the carnal mind is enmity against God. That's why you need a renewing of your mind. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. See, while you're living in the flesh, you can't please God. While you're living in the flesh, you can't be well-pleasing to God. You can't be a sacrifice acceptable unto God. That's why you must not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Look at verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. See, just to summarize, go to Galatians chapter number 5. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, somewhere in there is Galatians. 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians. That's where I want you to go. Galatians chapter 5. Look, let me just summarize what I'm trying to explain to you. Putting off the old man and putting on the new man is a choice, listen to me, to deny your flesh and walk in the Spirit every day. That's the point. Say, how can I be successful in my Christian life? Here's how you can be successful. You put off the old man, you deny the flesh. You put on the new man, you walk in the Spirit, and you do it every day. Look at Galatians chapter number 5, look at verse 16. Galatians chapter number 5, look at verse 16. Galatians 5:16 says, this I say then. Look what it says. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How can I get a victory over the sin, Pastor? Walk in the Spirit. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. See, they're fighting. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Does that sound familiar? But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. He goes on and on. See, you've got to put off the flesh. Let me give you a few thoughts by way of conclusion. That doesn't mean we're done. That just means we're almost done. 1 Peter, because somebody's going to say, you said we were going to be done, and 15 minutes later, you're still preaching. Yeah. 1 Peter chapter number 3. Go quickly, or else it's going to take 15 minutes. 1 Peter chapter number 3. Look at verse number 4. 1 Peter chapter number 3. I'm just kidding. Nobody ever says that to me. To my face. 1 Peter chapter number 3, look at verse 4. 1 Peter chapter number 3, look at verse 4. Look what it says. Now here's what you're going to say. 1 Peter 3 is a passage dealing with women. In fact, let's just go ahead and read all the verses. It's always fun to read passages about women. Look what it says. Verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Amen. By the way, we still believe that around here.
Well, and the world, Dr. Laura and Hillary Clinton said, Oprah Winfrey, look.
Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection unto your own husbands. That's what God said. Now look, that doesn't mean that you men sit there and abuse your wife. The Bible says that the wives ought to submit to their husbands, and the Bible says that the husbands ought to love their wife, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Someone who loves someone else so much that they're willing to die for them is not going to abuse or take advantage of it. You understand that? Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection unto your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may be without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Notice what it says, verse 3. He begins to talk about the exterior. He says, whose adorning, let it not be that, notice what he says, outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold and of putting on the apparel. Now look, he's using women as an example here because it's easy to use women as an example for this because women are generally the ones who like to dress up and look nice. Some of you guys are trying to look nice. It's not working. Work harder at it. No, I'm just kidding. But he says these women, he said, your wife, you spend so much time on the outward, adorning, plaiting the hair, wearing the gold. And look, we're not against that. Look nice. You know, you ought to look nice. But he says, who's adorning, verse 3, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and wearing of gold and putting on the apparel, but let it be the, notice this, hidden man of the heart. And that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God, of great price. See, here's a disclaimer to my sermon this morning. Is that working on the inner man, or how he's referred to here as the hidden man, you know why he's called the hidden man? Because it's a hidden work. It's a work that nobody sees. See, you know what gets us as human beings is this. We're often willing to do things that others will see. When other people see me serving in the church, when other people see me singing in the choir, when other people see me preaching, when other people see me doing things, outward things, it's easy to adorn that. But you know why we don't read our Bibles? Because you don't know how much Bible I read this week, and I don't know how much Bible you read this week. You don't know how much time I spent in prayer this week, and I don't know how much time you spent in prayer this week. It's a hidden work. And if you're going to be the type of person that walks in, that strengthens the inner man, you're going to have to realize that it is a work that is not seen. It is a hidden work. It is a work inside of you. And by the way, that's how God works. The Bible says that God, man looketh on the outward appearance, God looketh upon the heart. And by the way, that's how it is with everything. Salvation is on the inside. The religions of this world will tell you, salvation is on the outside. You go to church, you get saved. You get baptized, you get saved. You take communion, you get saved. You repent of your sins, you get saved. The Bible says you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, and thou shalt be saved. Amen. Sanctification is not what we do on the outside, but it's cleaning the cup within ourselves. It's cleaning yourself. The disclaimer is that working on the inner man is a hidden work that's not seen. But that's what we need. I like Dr. Jack Howes. We have quotes from him in the bulletin. Here's another famous quote by Dr. Jack Howes. He said, "You will be." It's funny because this quote is actually very similar to the quote my wife put in the bulletin. Interesting, huh? The Holy Spirit. He says, "You will be." Notice what he says. "What you are becoming. You will be what you are becoming. What you're doing today is what you will be in the future. The work, the hidden work that's going on inside of you right now is what you see." Here's a wonderful thing about that. You will be what you are becoming. If you don't like what you are, then change it. If you don't like what the future holds for you, then change it. And that works in every area of life. You look at your retirement and you say, "Man, my retirement's going to be tough." Start saving money, my friend. Start changing, you know. And here's the thing. Here's what I've grown to learn as a pastor. Is that I can't change you. I wish I could, but I can't. I can preach, and I can study, and I can pray, and I can preach my heart out. But people change their lives when they choose to in their heart. Do you know why in January, like 80% of the United States of America went on a diet, and almost everyone failed? It's because it's easy to make an exterior, you know, statement. But no one's going to help you lose weight till you decide to lose weight. "Well, I found this special thing, and I found this thing." Like, it's not going to happen until you decide to do it. You want to know why you're broke? Because you haven't decided to be, you know, disciplined with your finances, to budget, to do right. You want to know why you don't read your Bible? You say, "Well, it's because I'm so busy." No, it's because you haven't decided to do it. When the inner man decides to do something, then the inner man can accomplish that thing. You will be what you are. You say, "I want to be a spiritual mother." Start working on your spiritual self. "I want to be a good father. I want to be a good preacher. I want to serve God with my life." Then start doing those things now. They won't happen on their own. You will be what you are becoming. If you don't like what you are, then change it. If you don't like what's coming ahead, then change. You say, "People, my kids are so bad." Then change it. I don't see a good future for my children. Then change it. You know, my kids, man, they're not angels themselves. But often my wife and I will sit down and we'll say, "Have you noticed Joshua is developing?" And we'll talk about character flaws we don't like. Because we're trying to actively change before they become the drug addict. Before they become the felon. Before they become, you know, whatever. Here's the thing. Here's what I'm trying to say. You've got to work on your inner man. You've got to work on your hidden man. You've got to work on yourself, my friend. That's the only way. Let me show you one more verse. I'm in Galatians chapter number 2. Look at verse 20. Galatians chapter number 2, verse 20. Man, you're going to have enough time. You're going to be the first one in line at the hometown buffet. I promise you. Galatians. How many times are you going to mention the hometown buffet from your pulpit? So one of you invites me. Galatians chapter... I'm just kidding. I don't even like hometown buffet. Amen. Why would you go to a hometown buffet when there's a... What's that other one called? Golden Corral. Good night. They serve steak. They've got a fountain with chocolate. No, Galatians chapter number 2. Say, "Pastor, I'm on a diet." I know, the flesh. You know, the spirit truly is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's the problem. Galatians chapter number 2. The disclaimer is that working on the inner man is a hidden work that is not seen. But here's what you understand. The result of working on the inner man is that working on the inner man will produce this. Look, you're there in Galatians chapter number 2. Look at verse 20. Look what it says. This is what the Apostle Paul said. Notice what he says. He says, "I am crucified with Christ." You know what he's saying? He's saying, "I die daily." He's saying, "I wake up every morning and I take my old man, I take my old flesh and I put him on the cross with Jesus Christ. Every day, I put him to death." He says, "I'm crucified with Christ." Notice what he says. Because this is what people say. "You're in bondage. You're going to that church. They're so legalistic." Attackers don't even understand what they're saying. Have you ever had Pastor Jimenez walk up to you and tell you, "You must do this"? Our churches, I mean, if you go to the average Baptist church, has so many rules as to what you can and cannot do. I love our style of church. Here's our style of church. You do whatever you want, and I'm just going to preach God's word. And if you like it, good. And if you don't, doesn't matter. We're still going to preach God's word. Because I'm not trying to force you
to make a change, I'm trying to encourage you and challenge you, and yes, sometimes even rebuke you, so that you decide in your inner man to make a change. Because that's the lasting change, my friend.
He says, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. He says, but just because my old man is crucified doesn't mean that I'm dead. He says, nevertheless, I live. He says, but when I live, though, I love the Apostle Paul, because he says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. But he says, yet not I. He says, it's not me who's alive, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, he says, see, I used to live in the flesh and it was sin. I used to live in the flesh and it was carnal. But he says, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, you know what happens when you work on your inner man? The result is this. You become a dead to self, alive to Christ, living sacrifice to the Lord Jesus Christ. See, when your spouse says something to you that normally would have got a certain reaction out of you, but you say, ooh, man, normally I'd be blowing up right now. Normally I'd be throwing things and trying to punch a hole through the wall. Trying. You say, but I have control. You say, why is that? Because your old man is dead. That old man is dead. See, before when somebody would say, hey, you want a beer? And you'd be like, one? You know what I'm talking about? But now you're able to restrain and say, no, that's not for me. See, that's because that old man is dead. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the faith of in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You say, Pastor, what's the point of the Christian life? Is this, for you to be like Christ. And for you to be like Christ, you're going to have to be like the new man that was born after his image. But for you to walk in that inner man, you're going to have to strengthen that inner man and weaken the old man so that you can walk by his Spirit every day. That's the goal. Say, Pastor, is that the goal of let me tell you something. The goal of Verity Baptist Church is to help you grow. Say, well, do you want the church to grow physically? Yes, we want the church to grow physically. But you know what I want more than just getting bodies in here? I want the bodies that are already here to get saved. I want the bodies that are already here to grow in grace. I want the bodies that are already here to mature. I want the body. But let me tell you something. You start growing in grace and the world is going to attack you. They're going to call you a fanatic. They're going to say you're in a cult. They're going to say you're crazy. This is how crazy the world is. A 300-pound man in the middle of February goes out to a football game, takes his shirt off and paints his naked body and shakes around. Yeah! San Francisco or whatever. Oakland Raiders! That's normal. You're going to church again? Why are you in a cult? It's like, man, so I started going to church. Have you noticed that I'm not as angry as I used to be? Well, I liked you better when you were an addict. They call holy unholy and unholy holy. Their thoughts are not his thoughts. And his ways are not their ways. But you've got to, here's the thing, you've got to renew your mind. Clean your mind. Wash your mind. You say, how do I do that? Bible reading. How do I do that? Prayer. How do I do that? Time with God. Devotional time with God. In church. In the Bible. Strengthening the inner man. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear my Father, we love you, Lord, so much. Thank you for our church. And Father, thank you for allowing us to be able to have a Bible. And to have a church where the Word of God would be preached, even though it goes against our society. Even though it goes against everything our society says. Even though there may be people here today who will walk out of the service and never come back because they were offended by what the Bible says, praise God that there is a place in Sacramento where the Word of God is preached. And Father, I ask that you'd help these people, and especially myself, to learn to strengthen the inner man. To mortify that old man. To walk in the Spirit. Father, we love you. In your precious name I pray. Amen. Amen.